Last Day with Mayflower. We slept on ripped quilts in the trailer shade or on pads in the cab between jobs. The boss called us backs, our animal use, and I was a back in the gray navy town. We sweated in the long pants they made us wear, but few of the men I work with cared. Most had just come from state prison or jail. This was a two-truck, no-piano move. All a young housewife's things bound for storage, her husband dead and buried at sea. We saw him in the newspapers we used to wrap China and all the fragile things. Dress whites, white smile, an Annapolis degree, a crisp officer on a submarine. He died in sunlight, a calm, dry ground day, his jeep, his last dumb moment, and a train. Now the house they bought became a train to her. Their together things became a train. That April, I worked with Booz and Davis, four-handed Booz, our shoplifting king, and Davis of sharpened screwdriver fame. Davis was born tired and raised lazy. They talk and laugh for 10 hours a day. I grew to like them the way one can like a man who lifts the other end of a dresser or even takes the heavy end and walks backwards down the stairs and up the ramp when you're sick or too stoned or hungover to lift much. We were takers of sorts, a home-turned-house, making echoes by slow degrees, done when the house rang hollow and vast like the air inside a tire or a church. The young widow was beautiful that day in her heavy grief and her bravery, and she was kind to us, though we walked in like children who've been kept from all sadness, singing even, and blasting the radio to try and drown the dull work in music. She'd stand on the porch and stare at the truck with great blue red-rimmed eyes, and then she would bring boxes of china and books to the ramp. She brought us cold water and sandwiches. The last to be moved was the barber's chair. It sat in the den, an enameled anchor, her husband's chair, from his father's will. She seemed to want to carry it alone. She had tipped it on its side and pulled it all wrong with her arms, and it left a long gash in the polished hardwood floor. Next, she hooked her fingers under the headrest and pulled the weight against her chest, as one rows a boat or pulls a fishing net, until the blood in her arms and legs drained, and she dropped the chair heavily down. How I wanted Booz and Davis to be quiet then. I wanted not to have to ask them this, not to laugh at her in the hollow house. This would be my last day, my first day, moving. I should have said then, but how could I, that there must be a snow quiet for her, a slow quiet like the river tides, the blue silence of a tired star, the kind of silence that follows a train.